kalon më vruatër kam jomë këndal qire vuren atar një fua në kalës kja
Okay, hi folks, it's Graham Sutherland here with this week's edition of the 21st Century Jacobite. We've got an exciting show here for you, kicking straight off. I've been having an online discussion with a new friend on Facebook, and it's continued onto this platform. It was interesting because I was going to do a show tonight about the Masons and you know, what they're doing and how it all ties into Jeffrey Epstein and so on. That was the meat and potatoes of my show. However, we've got a caller on the line. He was on a previous show. We've just segued from a previous show into this one, which was a kind of interesting. His name is Gregory Kelly. Is that right, Gregory?
Kiley is how you pronounce the last name.
Kiley.
Yeah, it's K-R-E-I-L-E-Y.
Kiley, okay. Where does that name come from?
It's German in descent.
Ah, it's German. All right, okay. Yeah, I thought it sounded a bit German. So, anyway, Gregory, I've been studying masonry for years, and I've spoken to a lot of masons, and managed to infiltrate them as well at one
you
point.
Have.
Yes, so I.
You've been through some degree rituals.
Yes, and I've also been at several harmonies as well.
Can you say how high up you got in degrees?
I never went through number two.
Okay.
So technically,
you're still riding the goat according to what they tell junior members.
Well, yes, but I was given special privileges because everybody involved knew me and knew I was deeply into spiritual stuff. And way ahead of most of them anyway, in spiritual terms. So I got very special treatment. And the moral I said to me, I could be catapulted right up in a very short space of time. Because of my business. Yeah, because of my business.
Apparently you had started to get enough followers, enough influence. I spoke of earlier in the other segment. Five categories, and you sounds like you got into the influential category enough to where they said, okay, we need to really try to do what we need to do to bring this guy on board.
Yeah, I had two people trying to get me to join, and it was weird how they asked me, because they didn't really ask me.
Yes, it is.
It was just phrased in a really strange way, because they've got protocols. They can't actually just ask you right out.
Right.
Yeah, but I was getting all sorts of stuff, you know, like, oh, it'd be really beneficial. It'd be really beneficial for you. You know, it'd be a good idea if you give it a bit of thought. It'd be very beneficial for your business. It would help you a lot in business.
As I mentioned on earlier show there that I didn't state that it starts with deceit, and it's my understanding it carries through all the way up, you know, potentially until what you're like the leader of the highest order secret society group, which would be, in my understanding, that's who they refer to as when at least the people at the very top refer to the phrase the grand architect. So that would, to me, that would be a human being that's architecting and engineering all of this human control.
No, it's not. It's their name for Lucifer.
Okay.
And
well,
that's secret.
I would suggest that you wouldn't know for sure if I was correct or you were correct in that reasoning or line of thinking unless you did actually get up to the very tippy top and potentially...
No, I mean, I've interviewed dozens of former Freemasons from all different levels. And
okay.
I know, I really do. And I mean, I'm Scottish. I'm right in Freemason country here. You know, I'm right. I'm in the belly of the beast. And I'm very persuasive, and I'm good at getting information out of people. It's one of my gifts. I don't really have to try hard to do it for some reason, and people like to talk to me, I've noticed. Anyway, I found out years ago, and I've had it confirmed maybe at least a dozen times, that the 33rd degree level Mason has to go through a blood-curdling, ritual, which is basically a marriage to Lucifer.
Well, the point I was trying to make a few moments ago was, in my opinion, based upon studies of various dictionaries, that the term extortion, which is a criminal act, says that you make threats and use force to intimidate. So their degrees and rituals where they threaten to hurt you bodily or kill you is called extortion. It's a criminal act. Now, when it's done here, at least in the United States, it would be in group form at these degrees, starting out at the first one, whereby that is by definition then extortion, and it would be covered under RICO crimes. In other words, it's in a group setting, and it's more of a high crime to be in a group setting when you commit extortion. Ultimately, I'm just trying to make the statement here on your show as well, that if you look up the definition of the word terrorist, they talk about individuals or groups that threaten and use force. It's essentially the same definition as extortion. So in other words, I sent you some information earlier through our communications that I called a conclusion. If I was going to write a book, I've got many chapters that discuss my trials and tribulations with these people and the conclusion I sent you. And I write fiction ? To try to cover my butt so people can't say that, you know, you're crazy or we're going to do whatever to you because you're making these writings and you're making it sound as if it's true. To me, they essentially are all true. However, I write them fiction ? So the conclusion I sent you is basically what I would have, something as close to that, if I was going to write a book on all this, and that would be the conclusion. In there, I wrote that all Freemasonry members are terrorists within the terrorist group called Freemasonry. Just so I wanted to get that out of the way. Earlier, I got into some conversations. I feel like what I should do is have you guys work whatever you're going to do with what I've given you so far, because otherwise it's kind of repetitive and things like that. I would just like to give one last story on one of my chapters. I gave you the conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote, and I just gave you this essentially like a title. If the conclusion was titled, I just gave you the title of it, naming Freemasonry writ large is a terrorist group engaging in terrorist activities by definitions. So
yes.
I would like to do one quick story and maybe call it good for today, because I gave a bunch of information on the earlier show, which is some kind of relative show to yours. And I feel like if you guys want to have conversations later on, that should be compiled, and maybe you could, I would give you permission to do whatever you want with all the material that I've conversed between.
No, that's your good. That's handy.
Yeah, right. And the show earlier, such that you, I would say it might be in your best interest to go over everything that I communicated with the earlier show on your show at a different time and put it all together. And then you would be privy to everything I discussed earlier, as well as your audience, such that we go from that point forward, because otherwise I'm going to be repeating a lot of things, and this could be, you know, worthwhile to all parties involved, including
yes.
your listeners.
Yes. One of the things that jumped out to me, Gregory, was when you said the use of psychiatry
I call that the weapon of mass destruction. That is
yes.
the weapon of mass destruction.
Yes, and diagnosing removed, people, categorizing them, and then obviously institutionalizing them.
Right. To me, it is essentially a large part of what I know as removing everybody's rights that they target people with, and they've been doing it for decades. Removes their First, Second, and Fourth Amendment rights, essentially.
Yes.
I would suggest that they've been at this so long. Essentially, if people went to that slide I talked about earlier, I can't remember the order, the three words, cults, mind control, gangstalking.com. It really describes what they've been at for decades. There's a movie that came out in 1943. It's called Occult Forces, OCCULT Forces. It's
yes.
my understanding the director or producer was murdered for making that movie. And it actually gets into what I'm talking about back in 1943, how they were able to target an individual that either was a badly behaving member or somebody they were trying to knock down that was competing with one of their members in various ways, using psychiatric techniques of targeting individuals to produce symptomologies is what they call, really all they've done is they've taken normal fight-flight reactions and calling them now abnormal manic depressive symptoms.
Yes.
And just for example, if you were to sit in front of a psychiatrist and by the time they get you all worked up, you might be speaking fast and they would say, "Ooh, you got rapid speech and that's, you can't have that," right? They would also say, you seem to be, like if they try to say that you have a mental illness, for example, and you deny it, they say, "Oh, you're in denial, you know, and you're arguing with me about it. So you're argumentative. These are all symptoms of mental illness. But if you consider it in terms of fighting, in other words, they say you're arguing. Well, that's a form of fight, or you're oppositional. Why? Because I have an opposing viewpoint. So I'm going to oppose you and I'm being oppositional. Again, that's fighting. So all they've done is taken normal flight reactions, calling them abnormal symptoms. The normal reactions are now abnormal symptoms. They do their whole diagnosis thing. And I would suggest it makes sense, based upon my studies, that they've been at this at least since 1943, obviously, with that movie Occult Forces. And if you look at in the 80s, the lawyers in the United States of America had the highest rates of suicide by profession.
Yes.
In my opinion, it makes sense then that that's when they were really targeting that group to try to, they had already had it infiltrated, but to take it over to such degrees that it's so dominated that essentially when you go into the court of law, you're going to be represented by a Freemason attorney in the majority of cases, or they're going to be arguing against you. So it's all set up and it's all, you know, undercover. Now, if you fast forward to the year, the early 2000s, it was doctors that had the highest rate of suicide by profession. And in the late 2000s, it was really focused on psychiatrists had the highest rate of suicide by profession. In my opinion, that is somewhat of a paper trail of this phenomenon that we're talking about, where they go in, target individuals, take down, especially if they're trying to go after a specific very influential field that partners with their whole craft of Freemasonry. Now,
yes.
after the psychiatrist had the highest rate of suicide by profession, it was the police officers in the early 2010s. So to me, that's when they dominated the psychiatric profession so much so with their own members that they moved on again to the next field. What? That was the police officers, and that's when they had the highest suicide rate by profession. In recent years after that, it was the dentists, and that makes a lot of sense if you think about these things, wealthy people, dental records, you know, things that they can use. And then the real one that really raised my eyebrows was bakers. Why would bakers have the highest suicide rate by profession? Well, okay, I think I got a clue.
I have it. Military men know.
Well, so potentially, if the phenomenon that we're talking about here is true, that it would make sense. Okay, now they're trying to dominate and completely take over the military, even though they've had control of it through the higher ranks. But now it's like, okay, let's get it so completely dominated and saturated with membership roles such that everybody is going to toe the line and be lockstep in with anything that gets doled out upon us. Can I tell you that one story? Because I think it's kind of pretty eye-opening.
Yeah, go for it, Gregory.
All right, so I'm walking down Main Street, it's Las Vegas Boulevard, 6:30 in the morning approximately. I had established a pattern of life. They call it POL in the military, where I had done that once in a while, such that there would be very few people walking around. And I noticed a guy in front of me, he's got three work construction cones, the full height ones. He had three of them, and I didn't think anything of it. So I keep walking, and all of a sudden he starts walking after I pass him, and I hear plop. The first cone goes down. He got right up next to me because I walk kind of slow, and plop, a second cone goes down. He got in front of me, and about the same time as he plopped the third cone down in front of me, I noticed he was arching his neck, like almost a 90-degree kink in his neck, trying to look up at the top of one of those skyscrapers, the casinos. Right. And I'm thinking, that is a perfect angle for a sniper. So all these things that you hear about that are going on all over the world, including the United States, with, as my understanding, Ted Gunderson, an ex-FBI agent out of California, the field chief officer there, stated that, 70% or over 70% or 90% of all terrorist attacks in the United States of America are done by the CIA, I think was one of his famous sayings.
Yes.
My point being is I have never seen anybody in my entire life so forcefully try to look in a certain direction with his head kinked up looking at that top of that skyscraper where I was walking in direct line if there was a sniper up there. Let me just word it to you that way. So at the same time, he pops down the cone, he's looking up there, and then he gives up on it all and cuts left, right? I'm thinking to myself, with all the crap I've dealt with all this stuff, oh my goodness, what if there's a sniper up there? So I started doing what I call now my anti-sniper dance. So I'm doing like a drunkard dance or two steps forward, one back, or three steps forward, one back. And I've tried to entertain myself and keep my mind off of this crap by practicing music, singing and whatever, to where I bounce around a little bit with whether it's the drums at one moment or the guitar or the melody of the song, to where I was going left and right. And I was doing it with the knowledge of everything and the intent to say, if there was, by chance, because they call them skits and plays. If you watch Discovery Channel, that's what they refer to these things with. They call it that to their junior members, and everybody just thinks they're playing along and they're just hazing an initiate, when in fact the higher level members know exactly what they're doing, and they pull these things off, and these shootings and all that crap. And next thing you know, I come around up by Caesars, and there's all these little small cones, right? Like what? So in retrospect, I'm thinking, okay, that was the crime scene where I was supposed to get whacked from the guy up above sniping me, but since I was doing my anti-sniper dance, he wasn't able to get a shot off. So as I'm walking through the ramp garage, because I ducked inside the casino, right? So now he didn't have a chance to pop at me if it was actually happening. And on the radio, I'm hearing the song playing Untouchable were the lyrics. I don't remember the song, but there's some song that has. So in my opinion, yeah, you got, people at the radio and, it's pretty funky stuff. But let me just acknowledge my main point of this story is to say shortly after that. Now, here's where people should really take this into consideration of what I'm talking about. I walk into a car dealership, and as I'm walking in, I kind of was telling the story, and I showed one particular guy, and I did my anti-sniper dance. And he actually was overhearing me say this to a guy I was buying a car from. He overheard it, but he seen me. I made eye contact with him, and his jaw dropped to the floor, and he says, "Oh my God, we are effed." Okay, so I just want people to take that in consideration, that these, a lot of them, they know it's like, and what they're doing and what's going on, the planned takedown, all like on one day type of thing. And I have been told that these people are very well versed and practiced at hunting and fishing. They go to the rod and gun clubs, and I've also been told a black Freemason, they do the, what do you call it there, the Prince Hall, that, yeah, that we've been getting ready for war. So it's pretty much pretty blatant. But I just, with what that guy did, the look on his face, his jaw hit the floor, and him saying, "Oh my God, we are fucked." Why? Because he seen me doing anti-sniper dance. That really should speak volumes.
What do you mean exactly when you say an anti-sniper dance? Just jumping around a bit in case you're being targeted.
Yeah, basically, like if someone was going to snipe you and they were in a clock tower or whatever, if you're walking directly towards them, all they got to do is raise the barrel of the gun up or down a little bit. You're, well, it would be what, up? They got to just aim a, well, they would aim potentially a little, what would that be? I guess it would depend on the angle. Do you understand my point, though, that it's either up or down? Where if you're walking at an angle to them, they have to move the gun barrel left or right. So my point is when I did that and I showed him, I was doing it like to music, like I say, but it wasn't anything consistent where I'd bop a couple times to the left and then three times to the right. And then, you know, just, I got a certain way, and I've done this and developed it to where I used to play a lot of cards at the poker tables, to where people probably would remember me because they would say, "Man, you're just, you know, gyrating and doing this." Well, it's because of that, that I developed that as a way that, okay, it saved my life then, and I might as well just keep doing it, and it works. I know it works.
yeah, of course it works.
Yeah, if you're going left and right, you know, if you go straight at them, the only thing you can do is up or down movements, but they're still going to get your body, right? But if you go left or right, they have to move the barrel left or right in trying to maintain a sight on you.
Yeah,
but so they've got to pawn on tilt.
Yeah, I get it.
But my point is when this guy seen me do that and word it that way, that it worked, I survived, and I call it my anti-sniper dance, his jaw hit the floor. I'll go ahead and swear because it doesn't sound right if I say F, right? He said, "Oh, my God, we are fucked." So I just think that's probably one of the most important takes from our conversations, at least at the present time.
What do you think he exactly meant? And did he follow up with another statement?
No. Well, somebody said something to him, you know, like calm the fuck down type of thing. Because it really, I mean, he was really set back. So what do I think what do I think he meant? Well, I think they, at the higher levels, know that there was a takedown. It's my understanding it was actually supposed to happen May, believe it or not, May 1st. 2016 at 6:06 p.m. based upon a conversation I had with a Knights Templar guy, which means he would have been, you know, at least a 32 degree York Rite Freemason, and then graduated into the higher order collusive secret society called the Knights Templars. So
yeah, York Rite's a completely different thing, Gregory.
Right. But my point is that all happened, that was all going down in 2016, and I kind of got that information handed to me from him. So anyways, what do I think he meant is, or how did he take it, and where was his mindset? What were his psychological thoughts that he was engaging in to create the reaction? And I would call it an involuntary reaction when he said, "Oh my God, we are fucked." Basically, they've been actively training and preparing for this stuff, and him being shown someone that could not be hit by a sniper easily at all, and a moving target, by the way, has less than a 4% chance of a kill shot.
That's right.
If you take those things into consideration, and I used to, and when threat levels are higher as far as potential, what they call assassination phase periods, I carry a roll of like black electrical tape on me to control the bleeding, these kinds of things. I mean, that's where I've had to go with all this crap. But so where do I think his mind was at is they've been actively preparing for this and hunting people. I've been hunted. I physically have had people with dogs and flashlights hunting for me. And I'm going to say there were hunting parties, and it would be Alfred, New York, behind the Alfred University. I would say there's well over an 80% chance of skeletal remains being found up on that mountainside over there, the first time I heard it, somebody was screaming and yelling for help, and I heard dogs yipping like they do when they circle some their prey.
Yeah.
And then I heard these blood-curdling screams, right? So now with psychiatry, they would say, oh, you just heard voices and it didn't really happen, right? But so I let it go my first time. I'm not saying that I haven't ever really talked about anybody about this, because I know it's way out there, but we're getting close to where people are starting to, if I was like a leader and I was going down a path and I lost my sheep behind me type of thing, and I said, well, I can either go backtrack and see if they're on the path of accepting these things, or did they turn around, or have they been gotten by the wolves? I'm going to say I'm at the point right now where leading people down this path that we're talking about, this phenomenon, I'm starting to see some of the followers catch up to me now, to where some of this stuff will be more easily accepted, but it's pretty wild and far-fetched, and it's, a lot of it's very hard to believe. But my point is, in regards to that story, I did hear that happen like two or three more times up on the mountainside there in Alfred. It would have been on the other side of the university side of that mountainside. And that's it basically sounded the same thing. So in my opinion, they have been very actively preparing and training to hunt humans and, you know, use their dogs. And when the dog encircles the person, they start yipping. And I've heard it at least twice. It might've been three times, but at least twice I've heard where somebody was screaming blood curdling screams when they were being taken down by dogs and apparently devoured. I don't know if they just train them to kill them, or if they train them to eat them and bury the bones, or, you know, whatever. I don't know about that, but I would say if there was ever a legitimate search done in the hills of Alfred, New York, in the United States, that they would find cadaver dogs, would find bones, I would think it would be highly probable.
I mean, do you know how they mark a person they've murdered? You know how they mark it so the police know that it's a Masonic hit?
Well, I've read articles that the Germans had, during World War II, had samples of underwear. And so it's pretty easy to get a scent on something and then put it inside of a uncontaminated little baggie and then let the dog sniff that.
No, but I'm talking about once they've killed someone.
Right.
I'm talking about how they leave the body, you know, because it's obviously going to be found. Someone's going to come along and find it.
That's what I was alluding to at the end of that statement earlier, is I don't know if the dogs are trained to shred the body into smaller pieces and then they're trained to bury. Oh, here's a good little story. I was down in Las Vegas. This little bulldog came alongside me. Some lady was walking her bulldog. This was all in 2016. That was the big year for me with these people. And when that little bulldog seen me, he was on a sidewalk. It was a little miniature bulldog, and he was trying to like bury me, right? I mean, he was taking his bat. I mean, it was just the darndest thing. I'd never seen anything like it before in my entire life. And it was kind of cute, right? Whatever. But to me, in thinking back, all right, I've seen some dogs that can do some pretty wild and crazy things that get trained to do all sorts of stuff. So in that scenario that I'm speaking of, I would not be a bit surprised if that's what they're trained to do, is to dismember the body in such a way that they can, you know, take the bones. I could see them being very, I don't know as far as what they would do with the meat, but I could definitely see them burying, you know, each dog would have that training, you know. After what I seen that little bulldog do, I mean, he was pawing his ass on his two back feet, where it was as if he was trying to bury me, but he was on the sidewalk, right? So he wasn't getting anywhere, obviously, but he was trying so hard to do that, as if he would be spraying dirt up on me. It was really quite strange, that little story.
What I was going to say is, Gregory, what they do in this country is, if the Masons do a hit, they leave 5 stones in the victim's pocket. 5 stones. So that when the police or the detectives come to do the investigation, and there's a good chance they'll be Masons as well, because Freemasonry is you know, it's endemic in the police force.
At this point, over, I seen a video of one guy, he was an insider cop blowing the whistle on him. He said over 95% of them are Freemasons now.
Yes, yes. That's right. Well, they recruit their friends in, you see. That's basically what happens. They recruit the existing Masonic police. They get their friends in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's like
that's
I mentioned.
What they do.
It's like I mentioned with the highest rates of suicide by profession. It's, to me, it says a lot to say, okay, it was the lawyers in the 80s. It was the doctors in the 2000s, heavily on the psychiatrists in the late 2000s. The police then in the early 2010s. I don't know how accurate I am with the dates as far as the years go specifically associated, but those are types of articles that I've read before. So they go after these professions. So now they're all locked up in these professions that you would say, okay, that's what it would take to do a big takedown.
Yeah. Listen, are you aware of the occultic side of things? Spiritual side of things?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been studying. I got 20, 30,000 hours studying all this crap now, trying to make sense of it all and figure out my best moves on, you know, staying alive and watching it all unfold. To me, it's all unfolding, you know, the whole Epstein thing. You were going to do a show on that. It's all part of it. I'm pretty sure something really significant happens in the third degree, where everybody keeps their mouth shut thereafter, so solemnly that something must happen. I mean, if they're doing extortion and terrorist acts in the first degree, what happens in the second and third type of thing? My point is I would not be a bit surprised if that's where they compromise people, they call it, to where they know that they'll be, you know, put in prison for the rest of their life or whatever. It's probably in the third degree. It would be a pretty sound, educated guess to say, okay, there's something significant happening there, that they get dirt on people.
Yes, then, it keeps up mouth shut, yeah.
Pardon me, Graham.
It keeps up mouth shut.
Graham, did you want to maybe get a bit more of Paul's thoughts on these topics while you still have him here?
Is Paul still there? Yeah. Sorry, Paul. I completely forgot you were still on the sidelines.
No worries, mate. No worries. I've probably done enough talking earlier tonight already, but it's interesting stuff, you know.
It is interesting stuff.
Let me just try to make sure I hammer that one point home about the third degree, the concept that, you know, if just the initial introduction to it was, you know, where you get threatened with extortion, and that's the definition of, in the definition of a terrorist. So now it's group, it's RICO crimes and a terrorist group. And that's just the initial, hello, hi, how you doing? Welcome, you know, aboard. That it makes sense that that's a third degree. And then it makes sense, okay, that's why everybody keeps their mouths so shut and it's so effective. And then just tie that up all the way up to the, you know, into the higher parts of the ladder, and then you graduate into higher relative or at least collusive secret society orders. And then, of course, my famous thing, if I was ever remembered for anything, if anything ever goes down with me, just tell everybody just all at once, the most important thing to do would be the meme or whatever you want to call it. I just want to be remembered 9/11 Building 7. If it's done like President Bush said, don't ever let us tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories. My response is 9/11 Building 7, in quotes, 9/11 Building 7. That's pretty much all you got to say about it. And anybody, to me, that's what should happen now, is there should be a mass programming, a mass enlightenment from an engineering perspective. I do have a 2-year civil engineering degree, but I've been in construction my whole life. Pretty much, and you look at controlled demolitions, and all you need to do is look at 9/11 Building 7, and if everybody would just drop everything else and look at it like from a Hitlerian perspective, that if you say a lie enough and long enough, that the people will believe it. Well, how about if you say a truth long enough and focus on that, and just say, look, we want 9/11 Building 7. That's it. That's all we need to do, in my opinion. Focus on that. Let everything else go. Bring it all up to the forefront. But ultimately, forgive them all because they all got sucked into a cult, which I view as being short for the word culture. So they all been sucked into a culture that they know they'll die if they don't, you know, because I've tried to rejoin these people trying to save my life, right? So
I don't.
To me, it all needs to come out. Everybody needs to be forgiven, and we all need to get on the same page and stop spending all the time and wasting all the resources in the war that they've got planned. You got China that came out a few years ago putting a lax on their one-child policy. What does that tell you? To me, what it tells me is why all of a sudden, if the world's so overpopulated, why are they going from a one-child policy to a two-child policy, is my understanding. It just says that they know what's coming and they need recruitments or replacement within 10, 15 years. And it's my understanding they were going to be brought over here. I've studied the Denver murals, and in the first casket in the Denver murals, there was a black person, so that would have been the blacks that would have been wasted first from a genocide perspective. The second casket was Native Americans. I would say Latinos would fit into that color of people. And they didn't show a Chinese person or an Asian person in a casket because they were going to use the Asians to wipe us out. It got them withered enough, then they would have wiped out the Asians and left with the second mural that I deciphered. I feel comfortable with is it shows a picture of a white dove coming out. It's just one white dove. And there's a bunch of different nationality, ethnic type children running towards this plant suspended in the air with it.
We know the mural, Gregory. We're all familiar with it. And the whole 9/11 thing. I mean, this is just our meat and potatoes, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think the only way, really, that if the people were going to try to defend themselves, it would be to come together on 9/11 Building 7 because, you know, they've gotten away with it to bring it up, to do that concept of, instead of it being a lie told long enough and repeated enough, if we were at all focused on just 9/11 Building 7 being the truth, on, okay, office fires are not going to make sense of taking that building down in a controlled demolition, like it's all in your own footprint at free fall of gravity thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
No. I mean, that's a kind of basic starting point for anybody in the truth movement, really. Jumping back a couple of sentences, back to the Freemasonry thing, I found out that when you join the fourth degree, you have to renounce all your friends, and you go through a ritual to renounce all your friends, and you've got to speak out. You've got to speak out an affirmation in front of an invisible spirit that you're aware that your friends are holding you back. And you need to strengthen your ties with your Masonic brothers and loosen your ties and completely loosen your ties from your family and completely disconnect from your friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. From your friends.
Well, they've been at this for thousands of years, right?
Yeah.
So it's very effective, and it's basically we're talking about mind control, you know.
That's right. Cult, by the way, comes from occult.
Okay, yep. Yeah, that makes more sense then.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Freemasonry is very closely linked in a whole host of different ways to the Mormon Church.
Well, I got indoctrinated into that culture, or occult, and the founder was supposedly, he was murdered by Freemasons. You know, here's an interesting thing. About 30 miles from where I'm staying at right now is Batavia, New York, and there's a statue there, Captain William Morgan, and right on, he's like a 40-foot-tall statue, sits right next to the road, and right on the plaque on the statue, it says, a martyr to the cause of the freedom of the, I think, printing, writing, and speaking the truth. And just below that, it makes a reference to this Captain William Morgan, that the Morgan affair is what became of the event where they killed him. But it says right on the plaque right here in Batavia, New York, at the cemetery below where it speaks that he was a cause to the martyr of the freedom of writing, printing, and speaking the truth. It says he was abducted and murdered by Freemasons right on the plaque. So that caused what's called like blowback in war, where the United States populace got word of it. It got spread around the country, and it formed politically a political party that was actually called the Anti-Masonic Party, based upon my studies. This is all was all accessible. Everything's kind of being scrubbed and changed and so forth. But that eventually morphed into what was called the Whig Party, was what I remember reading in some articles. And supposedly, here in the United States of America, the Masonic membership rolls dropped down to about 5,000 members back then. That was 1832, I think, is when it was the first time they ran as a political party, putting up a, you know, someone in the race as a different political party than Democrats and Republicans.
Yes. I think politics is just a show. I think it's a huge Grand Scam Theater production. That's what I think.
There's a guy who lives in Switzerland. I've studied some of his work. He's got some material out there that talks about the Knights Templars and stuff, and the word democracy, that where it's rooted as far as the meaning of it, and how it is. He explains it that it's a different system from the old king with having his children responsible for these geographical locations, and they got tired of their siblings trying to kill each other, and they, so they came out with this new kind of scheme, a way in which to operate and control things. It still is, in essence, you know, like bloodline family controlled, but it's just a different way of going about it. Potentially, I would factor that into what you just mentioned.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, was a third-degree Freemason. And
supposedly the storyline there goes that they killed him after he climbed up and whatever.
Well, yeah, it didn't stop them having 22 wives and over 200 children, though.
Right. I'm pretty well versed with that culture. They basically turned me away from religion more than any other group has, as far as the concept of some mystical fuzzy god creature thing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So basically, you'll never see a cross in a Mormon church.
Right.
It's always a spike, which is related to the obelisk, of course, which is it's phallic. And it's basically luciferic. So it all goes back to Lucifer. That's a god, and that's who the big G is, the grand architect. It's all about Lucifer.
Well, they worship Lucifer, which I've read where that is defined as light bearer. Have you heard that?
Oh yes, that's what Lucifer means. In fact, in this country, you used to be able to buy matches, you know, for lighting cigarettes or whatever, and they were called Lucifers. That's the old name. That's the old name for matches. The old English name. 100 years ago, matches were called.
It actually only appears once in the Bible, Lucifer, in the Latin translation. Everywhere else, he calls it either the light bearer or the bright shining one or the dawn of the morning or something like that. You know.
Let me say something here. This will be way out there a little bit for you. So if that's the case, and if they worship Lucifer, and if Lucifer is a light bearer, and if light represents knowledge, and bearer would be, you know, to bring it, put it out there, to share that knowledge. And if we were speaking of especially sacred knowledge, then I'm Lucifer to them people, and they should worship me because I am bearing light on all this stuff.
Wait a minute now. This is important.
I'm jesting.
Yeah, sure. But listen, this is a subtlety of it all, and it is very subtle. Lucifer. Lucifer got a name change. Lucifer was cast out of heaven. Lucifer is now called Satan.
Okay.
Now, they don't accept that. They don't accept that. They accept that Lucifer is God and that Christ failed in his mission. They believe that he should have, destroyed all his armies, rather than laid his life down for mankind. So they're all about Satan, but they call him Lucifer. So in other words, they've given him his old name, but Lucifer no longer exists. He's an Old Testament character, But he fell from grace a long time ago.
Well, it's like I mentioned with the Mormons, that they really pulled me away from organized religion in concepts of associating and believing and being a believer and all that stuff. I've actually swung more towards for myself specifically, towards like an agnostic perspective, which I feel like it, based upon my readings, all it means is it's too difficult to prove. And I just feel like if you can't prove it either way, that would potentially define me as an agnostic, from the perspective that I don't like to devote a lot of my time getting in conversations of mystical fuzzy creatures that don't ever present themselves over thousands of years, whereby sometimes I prescribe that this is all part of their doings and it could be just pure Machiavellian theater. But like I say, I don't like to spend a lot of time getting into those discussions, because if you can't prove it either way, and you know, what if God, this mystical fuzzy creature, does exist? I don't want to piss him off either, you know?
No, that's right. But it's good to understand your enemy, and it's good to understand what the enemy is doing, and exactly what they're doing, and where they're getting their motivation and their strength and everything. And when we say they are satanic or luciferic or whatever, that's a really broad statement. They're into all the old Babylonian demon gods, like Pan and Osiris and Molech, and all of these.
You hear some of the phrases and words they use reference those things.
Yes, but they do actually, they pay homage to them, and they sacrifice children on altars to these gods, and that's what they've been doing for 5,000 years.
Well, I came up with a theory on a phenomenon. Now, I call myself one of the world's foremost leading conspiracy scientists, because if you look up the definition of the word science in the American Heritage Dictionary, the 2004 edition, it actually says the observation, identification, description, experimental investigation, and theoretical explanation of phenomenon. So that is in the definition of the word science, to theoretically explain things. So they've weaponized words and tried to discredit conspiracy theorists. So because I understand the dictionary meanings to a large degree, because I've had to study them so much when I've had conversations with people to make it go more smoothly and more productively, and then if they start disagreeing with me, I know where they're coming from, and I can say, look, you're just arguing with a dictionary. My point being is I consider myself to be one of the world's foremost leading conspiracy scientists.
Right.
And this whole phenomenon that you touched on, it kind of gets a little complex, and maybe I should save that for another day, I guess, at this time. I don't know how much more time we're going to be on the, talking here.
But
what you just touched on, it gets into a complex phenomenon that would take me a little while to converse about, and I just don't think right now it would be a good time to begin that one.
What one's that, Gregory?
I've let it go. There was a phenomenon, something you just brought up a few moments ago, that I have pretty good explanations. It's like I say, in the definition of science, to theoretically explain phenomenon. I've got, when you bring things up, or people, when I'm communicating, I've got real good sound explanations of phenomenon, and it was something you mentioned a while ago. I've let it go now, but it was pretty complex, and I was trying to go down that path, and I just feel like that's going to take too much time for us to cover that, and I'm not prepared to get into that one yet. It was pretty big and complex.
Sure. We expose these cults, not just Masons, but the other cults as well. We expose them on a regular basis. That's what we do. And me myself, I've been gathering information as well and notes. I've got thousands of pages of notes on these issues. So I like to keep it fresh in my mind. It's essentially what you're dealing with here. it's essentially the beast system, and it's affiliated to the Vatican. The Vatican is another tentacle of this same beast. And if you follow...
That they all have different, you know, some in some cases mild, some case significant differences in ideological perspectives associated with their groups, such
sure.
that they're all fairly, it seems, fairly collusive with regards
yeah.
to, like, this whole New World Order concept.
Oh, definitely. The interesting thing is, I've had a lot of discussions with people online and otherwise. And if you mention a name, let's say George Bush or Prince Philip, if you mention a name like that and say, you know, they're a Illuminati member or whatever else, you can get really bogged down with people just talking about the Illuminati and what they, you know, their concepts and their beliefs and everything else. But the thing is, these people are a member of a whole network of different groups. You know, they're probably
right.
also in the Committee of 300 and the CFR, and
right.
You know, maybe the Palladian Society or the Vril Society or whatever. Because there's all these elitist Masonic groups above the 33rd degrees and the 13 secret degrees. Did you know there were secret degrees above the 33?
I've heard so many different things. Here's something that I try to keep in the back of my mind. William J. Casey was the CIA director under Ronald Reagan, and his famous quote coming out of his first staff meeting in 1981 was, "We will know our disinformation program is complete when the American public believes everything that is false." So
yes.
it is really
yes.
quite a process, quite cumbersome to try to, you know, gather information. I've been doing it now for, like I said, I got 20,000-30,000 hours, and since the first time they tried whacking me, you know, really motivated to try to figure out what to do, how to understand this, how to best defend myself, and how to best proceed.
Some of the things, Gregory, that these different groups believe, and all of these people, the Clintons as well, they're included, the British royal family, they're definitely included, the Rothschilds, Kissinger, you know, there's various other American ones as well, both the Bushes. They are all bloodline elitists. They're not, you know, they weren't elected there. They were destined for that at birth. So
right,
these
right,
people were,
the appointed.
Yeah, these people are, generally speaking, not particularly smart. Not particularly
well,
bright.
They know how to maintain their system that they've been handed.
Well, yes. But the interesting thing is, a lot of these different groups that they're a member of, and believe me, I remember seeing the list of different groups. Prince Philip, he was a top Mason in the UK, by the way. And he had a whole branch of Masonic lodges, thousands of them, under his wing, or under his authority, in Canada and the USA. So that gives you an idea how high up he is. I mean, he's an old man, right enough. But anyway, my point is, and it's quite important, a lot of these groups have similar but often contradictory views. They often,
well,
you know...
That's what I'm trying to touch on with you, is that they all are collusive, but they all have different, at the leadership levels and within each individual group, all have... anywhere from slightly different to significantly different doctrines, you know, ideologies that they prescribe to within each group, such that, like you mentioned, whether it's Prince Andrew or the Pope, or, you know, like, let's say Vladimir Putin with the Orthodox Christianity. And either way, there is not as much cohesiveness, and it varies. The more they threaten the people, or the more they feel threatened by the people, the more they cling together and come together and ignore or put aside their differences, ideologically speaking. The more they feel less of a threat from their peoples, the more inclined they are to prescribe more to their own doctrines, their own group's root doctrines and ideologies. But I guess the point I'm trying to make here is it waxes and wanes their collusive nature, all these groups, but I feel like they basically have come together. They formed the whole New World Order thing, and that's been waxing and waning. And in 2016, to me, there was a big shift that basically put the Knights Templars on top, where people don't realize this. I'll just acknowledge, in part, some of the information I got to justify that premise is right after, let's see here, it was in 2017, after, I'm pretty sure it was 2017, it was when the stock market over here went down 666 points. It was 1 hour after on the CNN they showed the caption being President Trump was going to release the Nunes memo against FBI recommendations.
Yeah,
I was basically assigned the 666 designation in 2016 with all my follies, with all this crap, and I was their biggest threat, basically, is the way I understood it at the time, and still believe that that explains all the things that I overheard and experienced. But when Trump essentially went off the farm, because let's call it the Khazarian Jewish Mafia, whatever, the whole Rothschild farm, with the backing and feeling comfortable enough with the backing of the United States military, that it kind of told me that that's when he got assigned the 666 designation, because within an hour on CNN, the same channel, after they wrote that he was going to release the Nunes memo against FBI recommendation, lo and behold, the stock market goes down 666 points. So they communicate, in my opinion, they communicate with each other through these means such that they don't have to make any phone calls, and it gets spread to millions of members all around the world. Everybody knows what's going on. It's inside these circles. But here's another addendum to that is they canceled the military parade, and it was blamed on the Pentagon. And lo and behold, once again, we got that 666 number in there because they said it went over. They said that the Pentagon said that it went over budget by 666%. So that was earlier. I think that was in April of this year when that was all supposed to go down and it canceled. So to me, they kind of fight for the supreme spot of the highest secret society that's effectively penetrated, infiltrated, and controlling the United States military, because those are going to be the people that decide who gets cold. So there's this kind of fight behind the scenes that takes place, as, you know, who's going to be in charge of the most powerful militaries in the world, you know?
Absolutely. And whatever you find the most powerful military, you will find loads of evil.
Well, they're all doing their job, right?
Well, there's a supernatural aspect to this, Gregory.
Okay. Well, like I say, I try not to go in the supernatural realms because I believe it can't be proven either way, and I don't want to piss off something, but I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it and going down those paths, because I've gone there and it has really backfired me. You know, I feel like I was living a real positive, loving, you know, pure way of life, and it really didn't pay off all that well.
Well, let me put it this way, Gregory. They completely validate you clarify the reality and the power of Jesus Christ by being so antichrist. They are obsessively antichrist. You know, they've upside down crosses on their robes, they wear, they wear the red shoes, which is, you know, that's what the sacrificer wears, so his shoes can't get stained with blood. But that's what they do, and that's what they're about. And they're obsessively antichrist. They're not anti-Joseph Smith, they're not anti-Buddha. You know, they're not anti, you know, Rastafarian, they're not anti Sikh, they're not anti Muslim, they're not anti Muhammad or whatever, they're anti Christ. So just think about that for a moment.
Well, I have, and I've like I mentioned, I've studied dictionaries, I've tried to come to terms with all this stuff, and I have, in my opinion. I feel comfortable with discussions along these lines, even talking about some dude called Jesus is the way I like to view it, that apparently was the most loving person on the planet, according to a lot of people who documented these things.
And yeah.
To such a degree that he would be considered, in essence, the embodiment
of the word love. And the only thing I would just add in there with regards to the word God is to say that, well, it could mean potentially, if you weren't going to embrace the mystical fuzzy creature thing, it could mean that it was just back then, if you looked up the word in the dictionary, love, it would say God. And it just was a different configuration of some scribbles on a piece of paper. And people have gone in the Machiavellian direction. But like I say, I can't prove anything either way. I just feel like there's so much time that people spend and dedicate and resources and everything, you know, fighting wars. And it's like if we took all that time associated with just that one activity that people spend talking about Satan and God and Lucifer and all these mystical fuzzy things that you can't prove either way. That's why it's hard for me to go down those paths and engage in conversation, because I've got it more on the physical realms that I feel comfortable with having conversations. And I just feel like if everybody was to take all that time and all the energy and resources that are used because all the wars that are fall all over it, and if we were to say, okay, let's do the Benjamin Fulford thing and try to repair the planet and turn everything around and have what he refers to as a meritocratic society, that, you know, instead of continuing down the path that they're going, it just seems that we'd actually all benefit. They could keep their standards of living. They could pretty much have everything they want, and you know, they, as long as I just feel like we can come to some kind of agreement, forgive them all. They all got born into something, or they got recruited into something that is so powerful and mind controlling that I can understand, I can relate. That's my personal feeling, is we all need some kind of reset where they all get forgiven, it all gets brought out, and let's all move on, and, you know, the whole peace, love, and joy thing, you know?
Trying
to kill each other.
No, I think I think they basically are completely aware of what you think may be fiction, and they're completely aware of the reality of their God, which is Satan, and the reality of Christ.
I'm not saying it's fiction. I'm not saying it's nonfiction. What I'm saying is I can't prove it either way, and I feel like it consumes so much of our time that. And resources, and there's so much war and destruction that it's all over that. I think it's if we were to actually move on as a species and civilization and actually get somewhere in a positive direction, all that time, effort, and energy and all these differences could be put aside, and, you know, we'd all be in so much of a better place.
I know, but it's not going to happen, Gregory.
That's too bad.
Yeah, no, they won't change. They're going to get more. They're up in their game right now. They're doing. They're up in their game.
Well, I know, because it's getting closer, and they feel more threatened, so they got up their game to maintain everything in the world in the way in which they've been psychologically programmed to believe, understand, and conduct themselves, you know?
Yes, well, Freemasonry is a cult, and occult means hidden. And for hundreds of years, their nefarious activities have been well hidden. They've been doing all sorts of stuff. And, you know, people were, I mean, all we had was a newspaper and one or two news channels that just basically fed us with bullshit. So people just didn't know what they were doing, who was connected to what or whatever. But it's been blown wide open now. This is the age of information. People know what they're up to, and they are terrified that they'll get nailed before they get the chance to set up their beast system and their beast kingdom. And that's why they're moving, you know, millions of Muslims about the world and everything, trying to upset society, because they need a societal collapse. They need blood on the streets. They need riots and everything so they can impose their martial law. That's the big urgency for them.
Right. Well, to me, it deals with negotiation. You got Trump saying, what is it, the art of the deal. So, like the United States goes in, destabilizes Iraq, and then they'll let the contractor, they'll make a deal. Okay, you let us in there for your oil and let our contractors in there. It's like with Libya. They were doing pretty good. They were talking about establishing their own currency backed by gold. Okay, let's go in there. They whack him, destabilize it, and maybe, I don't know if they made deals, you know, go in there and negotiate. You put them on their knees, you can negotiate with them and get the best deal being in the higher position. So it's the same thing with the people in writ large. It's just that it's all separated into different geographical locations.
Yes.
So it's like in Venezuela right now. They just, Trump just announced they were going to embargo, you know, cut them off, seize all their assets. I mean, they're already on the floor, you know, backed into a wall, and they're already in a position to negotiate. Well, let's cut them off and create even worse conditions. You know, it's kind of like what they're doing in Iran. You go in there, you bring them to their knees, and you say, okay, now let's negotiate.
Well, yeah. You're dealing, it's like dealing with a whole load of spiders on a web, though. One of their greatest tools is deception. They're all about deception, and they even release false information about themselves, and some of the stuff's quite ridiculous. Just to put people off their scent. They're all about deception.
Well, that gets back to that saying that, William J. Casey, we will know our disinformation program is complete when the American public believes everything that is false. And it's just, holy cow, you know, sometimes my nephew once told me ignorance is bliss when I was telling him about some of this stuff. And, potentially there's that mindset to say, okay, screw it. Let me just forget about everything and go out there and ignore it all. And just hopefully they'll let me stay alive for as long as possible. And I viewed it like if you're a dog, a pet type of thing, you know, you don't bite your master's hands and, you know, do the best you can for them. They'll love you back as much as you love them type of thing. I don't know. But it's all so convoluted and confusing, and the whole disinformation program, it's really something. The current state of psychology amongst all these people and around the world, it's really pretty wild, all this crap.
It really is. They seem to be, what would you say, totally obsessional about it. Totally obsessional.
Well, again, to me, it's natural animalistic tendency to try to feel safe and secure in your environment, and you've mentioned they're terrified. You know, all this stuff is coming out. They didn't realize it was going to happen this way, I don't think. Unless they're priming it to get us to come out and be animate. They're ready to take us on. They need us to start a civil war. So that could be a possibility that, you know, they're letting it come out in hopes that they can say, okay, we got, like, now they're talking about Antifa being a group that they're going to declare a terrorist group. Well, that would allow them to justify, you know, bringing in their martial law. So maybe they're ready for martial law. They're just trying to instigate an event, and that's why they're allowing all this stuff to come out, potentially. I don't know. Like I say, it's all so convoluted. It's unreal to try to feel 100% comfortable drawing any conclusion.
No, well, you don't really need to go too far. If you read Agenda 21 or a summarized version of Agenda 21, you know exactly what the playbook is. You don't have to guess. It's all there in black and white. It's actually published. You could find it with three or four clicks of your mouse. They want to depopulate the world, as was said. They were behind the feminist movement. They are behind the LGBT thing and all this fiasco about, you know, gender fluidity and all that pish. Excuse my French. But that's what they're about. So what they're also about is breaking up the family. That's what the feminism was about, and the gay movement and everything. It was all about, you know, breaking up the family. But so too also is this importing of foreign religions, especially obsessional Muslims and whatnot, and putting the blacks against the whites. They're doing that as well.
It's getting crazy.
Yeah, they weren't fighting on the street. But here, listen. It's kind of already started. They've been rioting on the streets of French cities, not just Paris. Yellow vest protests. They've been on there every night.
Interesting phenomenon.
For almost a year.
Yeah, that's, I read a little bit about that. That's very interesting. It actually took place in India as well. There was supposedly, I thought it said like 700 million or I don't know how many people. I can't remember what the article said, but an unbelievable amount of people with a yellow vest situation over there too. I don't remember exactly, but man, it's to me, it's all being fostered and geared, and it's all being managed and controlled, and it's fluid. To me, I look at it as all war. Essentially, I define war as the condition of contention and antagonization. In the loosest, broadest sense of the definition of the word, which leads to armed military and conflict if it escalates. But at the smallest levels, it's just a condition of contention or antagonization. And you got the whole Galilean dialect, Pavlovian controlled responses that they're programming into us. They've got, like the one video game I've been hearing lately, some people say, fuck the police, because they were playing, what was that, Grand Theft Auto, I guess, that had that. So it's so much of it's being programmed in, and I do agree that a lot of it is planned, and it all fits into their realm thing. Here's something neat I seen on Facebook. Somebody posted, and it shows a timeline, and the New World Order is supposed to come out on December 10th, and that's my birthday. Isn't that something?
Wow. Life's full of weird coincidences, isn't it?
And that's something. They're going to bring out the New World Order just for me, I thought, and that's something. Wow. Yeah, something about a timeline with the Illuminati card game, and it shows the cards and how everything's unfolding right now, and supposedly the last card or whatever that they showed on that one post, it says unfolding or disclosure, full disclosure of the New World Order is supposed to happen December 10th, 2019 this year. I thought, that's my birthday.
That's wild. That's absolutely wild.
Yeah.
And are you still there, Paul? Just wondering if Paul's still there.
Is he? Did we lose him?
Let me just check. I'll go on to the main Uber page. Yeah, I think he's away.
Let me tell you something about the Epstein thing. There's an alternative theory to put out there, but they come out today with the broken bones in the back of his neck, and it doesn't really jive with what I'm saying, but
yeah.
Potentially they could be feeding all this just to keep selling the story, but potentially he could be under protection, fake death, because they came out with those reports within 24 hours of releasing about documents, something about 2,000 pages of documents. Now, I've seen one post that showed the indictment, supposedly. I don't know if it's true or not, but on the indictment, I don't understand why nobody's talking about it. None of the conspiracy theorist sites that I go to. I go to Before It's News every day and try to keep up with whatever they're putting out on that site, beforeitsnews.com. And I get all kinds of stuff from them. But one of them showed Donald Trump listed as a co-conspirator with Epstein on the indictment. And they showed, all the many pages of the indictment, supposedly of the actual indictment. I just find that, why the heck is nobody talking about that, including the conspiracy theorists that were on that page? Now, I'll try to email you or Facebook you the URL number for that. I just thought that was kind of mind-boggling. But the alternative theory that would make sense to me, potentially, is because of him coming out and naming names, that he would be even much more of a higher threat to these people that he's named, that I would suggest then it would make sense that people were going to put a hit out on him from very high levels, that would have really pissed him off, and I could see him doing that. Is okay, we definitely got to whack him now. So within 24 hours, potentially he could have faked his death at the highest levels just to put him in a secure location until they're able to have all this all come out and protect him. So there is that possibility. I just thought I'd throw that out there because your show had listed you talking about Epstein. So I thought, well, we might as well touch on that a little bit.
Well, this is what I think. I read witness accounts from wardens and other inmates in the prison where he was being held, and they said that he was visited by someone And shortly after that, a van arrived, and guys in military gear, black combats basically, came out the back of the van with another body in a bag. They took another body out the back of a van. This is eyewitness accounts now. And then went into the facility with it. They didn't go through the normal, sort of security or anything like that. Yeah, they just walked in, basically, and did their thing. And it left shortly after with another body bag. So they were obviously taking Epstein being drugged, I think, and taken away. I do not think we've got the body of Jeffrey Epstein in custody, in a body bag. I really don't. I think he's been whisked away.
If he was whisked away with what you just talked about, they would have taken him out in the body bag, and then the body, the one that they brought in, would have been the body that they showed as being Epstein, which would make sense. I did see, with specific regards to an article that I saw, where they showed the ear, the shape of the ear, the inner ear, compared to a live shot of him, and they don't match up whatsoever. It also shows the nose doesn't match up. So I'm back to the thing with William J. Casey, the CIA director, and Ronald Reagan, say we will know our disinformation program is complete when the American public believes everything that is false. So I don't even like to say anymore I think this, because it doesn't really matter what I think. I view it that I could be so wrong on some of this stuff, because we all get subjected to so much disinformation. But so I'm so careful about the way I word things now, because of all the crap I've been through with these people, that I try not to give them anything, any ammunition whatsoever to use against me with regards to the words that I use and choose and things that I say. But I'll just acknowledge that with what you just mentioned, that could be a possibility based upon my studies that would make sense. And it kind of lines up with what I had mentioned, that potentially he could be under, it's the most benign thing that you could say, is that he's actually under protective custody, and they faked all this, brought him out in that body bag that they brought the body in so that he could be protected while this is all coming out and getting unfolded. Because you're basically potentially talking about huge sex trafficking rings involving, I've heard reports that half to three quarters of the Congress over here is going to be taken down. I've heard reports of this mystical 100,000 sealed indictments, and you know, it keeps growing. Usually, supposedly, there's only, at the federal level, only 3,000 to 10,000 sealed indictments a year, are numbers I've heard or read in articles. And right now, supposedly, there's 100,000 sealed indictments. So it's hard to say for sure what happened. And, you know, he could have been killed. But it doesn't make sense with some of the stuff that we're getting reports on. And, you know, if it was a benign, you know, good, positive thing, that would make sense, that they were forced to take him out of there to protect him, to keep him alive, to make sure he didn't get a hit. Now, I did read something, I read an article saying that the union boss of the police union, or boss over the one guard that was on duty, he's supposedly got $26 million in a Chinese bank account. I don't know, something where it wouldn't be extraditable. I don't know. I see so much, and I try to read everything to get all these different perspectives, and I try to piece it all in with my great big puzzle picture that I've formed with reality. But then I constantly am forced to go back and consider the William J. Casey quote, you know.
Yeah, but listen, we're ignoring an elephant in the room here.
What's that?
That is Prince Andrew.
Again, people get born into it, right? So he's doing the best. Everybody's doing the best they can to secure their standards of living and stay alive and have the best standards of living and look out for their offspring. And, you know, so I try not to put anybody down. I try to accept them all and forgive them all. And, you know, everybody's got all these different programs that have been put in there by other people, and they've been born into it or recruited into it.
You're sounding like an apologist for the pedophile rings. That guy's a beast. That's what he is.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you, and I'm not trying to apologize for him, but I am trying to acknowledge what I would look at is truth and reality. And I've tried to practice the thing I call mathematical love, where I try to get better and embody like 10 words, and one of them is forgiving. So that's part of my self-programming, self-help, and I've used that to help deal with all this crap. And
forgiveness is a really powerful tool, and it's a beautiful thing when it's appropriate. But you don't forgive people that are murdering children. You hang them.
Well, my point is, if it's a culture, okay, and let's say you were born as some prince in a culture and groomed and mind-controlled and programmed from birth, to me, I look at it like whoever founded the system, whoever founded that particular religion or whatever it is, system, they're the ones that are actually the only ones who are truly responsible. Everybody else is just like a mind control zombie slave going along with the program. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you on how to handle it all, because to me it would involve reprogramming. You know, you got to let the neuropathic pathways wither that are the old programming. It takes so much time, effort, and energy. So, you know, maybe you're correct in the sense that we just need to dispose of all these people. But at the same time, if you do that, that really sends terror through them and forces them. So we're right back to what, war and, you know, blowing up the planet type of thing. So I don't know. I've been listening a lot to, what's his name? Steele. He was an ex-CIA agent. And he's bringing up a lot of this stuff. The only thing I don't like about him is he's got like the golden goose is still psychiatry. And he's not, it sounds to me like he's almost a CIA, you know, last case, worst case scenario where, okay, we tell everybody everything, but we still enforce psychiatry, and it still leaves their plan functioning and in effect, let him take over, and they'll still attack everybody with psychiatry, take away their First, Second, and Fourth Amendment.
It's like
rights.
A thought police in George Orwell's 1984, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He on steroids. I mean, George Orwell, he had a clue on computers, you know. So with what they're able to do, and you got artificial intelligence, and I kind of been hoping that they'd flick on the artificial intelligence thing and have it figure out for itself what, you know, like mirror, mirror on the wall type of thing, who's the nicest of them all, and then I'll be sitting in pretty good shape, and it'll automatically fix things, you know. I don't know. It's pretty wild. That's wild and crazy, all this stuff that's going on. It's...
Anyway, getting back to Prince Andrew.
Pardon me?
Getting back to Prince Andrew. I think his name appeared on indictments. And possibly some other royals. We know they're into it. But we're lacking solid evidence. Loads of anecdotal evidence. Loads of accusations about Prince Philip, about the Queen, about Prince Andrew, about Prince Philip. You know, loads of accusations. Some very convincing ones, but we're lacking solid evidence.
For the Knights Templars returning to their roots of Christianity to say, okay, that means that they would find all this stuff fairly ill and possibly not being involved to the depths and depravities that some of the others are, where they would kind of turn things around. And based upon my findings, potentially they could be very influential, if not in control of the United States military. I do know there's a site called Deagle.com that I'm pretty sure used to say there was only going to be 50 million United States citizens still left by the year 2025. And it went up after all this changed around. And it appeared to me as if the Knights Templars took control of the United States military away from the Zionist Jews, that figure changed to 99 million. It still means there's 230 million United States American citizens that aren't going to be around, according to the site, by the year 2025. But what I would add to that is it's all the NATO countries that are taking the big hit. The United Kingdom was supposed to lose about 3/4 of their population, the United States about 2/3, and all the rest of the NATO countries are all getting hit, whereas all the non-NATO countries all were fairly stable, or some of them actually grew in population. I thought that was quite interesting in regards to these realms that we're talking about.
Yes. The royal family can easily be traced right back to Babylon. right back to Pharaoh, in fact. So and the interesting thing is, every single American president going right back to number one. There is only one out of all of those presidents that are not related to English monarchy, which is German monarchy. No, it's not JFK. No, that's a surprising thing. It was some obscure...
Abraham Lincoln, then? I'm thinking it's got to be... And they tried whacking Reagan, so I would assume it would be one of those three, no?
You know this, I can't actually remember, but the amazing thing was, that little fact I've just told you was researched and found by a 12-year-old American girl doing a school project.
Yeah, I seen that article.
Pardon me, Graham. I just wanted to jump in and mention we're actually starting a roundtable show starting tonight after your show. Because Stephen, Stephen has to step down from doing a weekly show due to some family concerns and health concerns at the moment, but he'll still be interacting. So, yeah, we'll have a roundtable after your show every Thursday. Everyone's welcome to. You're welcome to always stick around, and everyone is welcome to call in and participate, bring up topics, I think. And by the way, you have another caller on the line, sir.
Hi, other caller. Just jump in.
Hey, Mr. Sutherland, this is Johnny from Texas.
Hi, Johnny, hi. Sorry, I wasn't looking at the UC page there. I didn't realize you were there. How long have you been listening to the show, Johnny?
I've been listening 15 minutes since you've been broadcasting, but I just got on about 5 minutes ago to call in.
All right, okay. So. Well, I've got a great guest. We started speaking online, and I told him I was just about to go on air, so he's come on air with me. It's fantastic. Gregory is his name, and he's a victim of the Masons, and taught me quite a lot of new stuff.
Yeah, I heard about it. He's all over the place sometimes, but that's all right. I was really going to ask you the inner workings of the Masonics, as you were going to get into for today's show, and how that's coming apart. You've been trying to touch up on Prince Andrews and everything with the royal family. What else do you see that's about to happen? I think there's a lot of big stuff within these families that's about to happen that nobody's covering. I was curious as to your point of opinion on that.
Well, you've got basically mafias, and the Bush and Clinton is syndicate, if you like, is just another mafia, and it's them clearly, and they are perverted friends. And we know who they are as well. They're all just about to get hung out to dry. And it's going to be really embarrassing. And there's loads of people going to... They're going to just squeal because they know they're going down. And all sorts of names will come into it. And I'm sure that there was other British royals on this indictment. And that was how he was just like, you know... I think he was switched. They got a body double. Or they found a body double, and they were able to do some kind of switch. Either that, or they got some very professional makeup artist to do a... Because they can do that, you know? Hollywood, they're good at that. They can make one face look like another. They could make you look like your wife, and your wife look like you. That's how good they are at it. So that's what they've done. He's not dead. But that's what they like. They like deception. They like the fact that there's millions of people all over the world discussing, he's got a broken neck, what happened 2 weeks ago, there was another attempted suicide, who do you think killed him, what do you think he found? So we're completely down the wrong track. Completely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they keep you running in circles. I totally agree with that. That's how you never get to the bottom of it. What is your outtake on Prince Andrews? Sputnik News actually came out today when it came to Prince Andrews is on the run and they can't find him.
Really?
News reported on it. The only place that, came out today. So I guess they had an indictment on him, or they were looking for him, but they have no idea where he's at right now. So they're reporting on it at Sputnik and RT. Obviously, American News won't pick up on that, or BBC, but what do you think about that? I think that's big stuff that's about to be around the corner. And it's like,
remember,
underneath the rug.
Yeah, but remember, Johnny, because he was known to be Jeffrey Epstein's friend and photographed with him on yachts and planes and on his island and everything, and even walking about in Central Park in London, they were, they're clearly friends, so the press will be chasing him everywhere. You know, his bodyguards, Prince Andrew's bodyguards will not be able to cope with the amount of cameramen and guys with little notebooks chasing them around. As regards the royals, they've came close to getting busted a few times, and you know, people have disappeared, people have been suicided, like Lady Diana. I mean, everybody knows it's an open secret that the royal family killed her off. So to me anyway, it looks like the whole fiasco over there was to do with British royalty more than anything else.
If I could jump in?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just trying to, before I forget, the gentleman, the other caller there brought up about something, where it's going or whatever. I'll throw my opinion out there on that, which is to say that I look at things, it's either going to be good for the standard programming for the American people, or it's going to be good for these elite people carrying out their plans. So with regards to like the whole Epstein thing and, you know, the Prince Andrew or whatever, all these things that are all going on, potentially I'll get back along these lines to the 100,000 indictments, and that could be international. So it potentially could include, you know, foreign nationals. If it was going to be good for the American people, I have read articles that suggest Trump is siding with protecting victims of sex trafficking, especially children, and that Melania Trump is very instrumental in that activity and really, you know, a positive force involved with trying to get something done to protect these, let's say, children. I mean, to me, it's so much more whether you're a child or an adult, if you're being tortured and all these things that they're doing. Yeah, I'll feel more for children because they have more life left to live and they're more innocent, I suppose, in some senses. But it still is pretty bad stuff from top to bottom. So that would be the good potential of 100,000 indictments that could be going on, and that could be relative to the Prince Andrew thing. Or let's say if it's on the other hand, where they're actually, like I've mentioned before, trying to instigate things at the border with, you know, the whole El Paso, take guns, do the whole psychiatric thing, mental illness, you know, justify it and keep going down those paths, whereby the whole Epstein thing, then potentially it could be the beginning. And I even thought this potentially back with like Michael Jackson, that these people are going to start going into hiding. They got to make it look good. Everybody's going to be safe and secure. They're going to get it up and running, the great culling, they call it. So, and maybe that's what the 100,000 indictments for, are actually the people that are trying to stop, you know, or trying to stop these acts from taking place. So it could go either way. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I do. I know one thing for sure. There's going to be an explosion of names from the rich and famous, from royalty, from all across America and Europe. The House of Cards is going to collapse, and you're going to see all sorts of people that you would have never even been, even imagined in your wildest dreams. Be guilty of such stuff, will be guilty of such stuff, and everybody will be shocked and somewhat numb with the whole situation. That's what's going to happen very, very soon. This next week, I would say. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you don't mind, Sam, may I read off this little article from Sputnik? I know this
one was a deep state. Yeah, sure. That's a good idea, Johnny. Yeah.
Yes, Sputnik News reports Bert Andrews reportedly flees the UK with ex-wife due to Epstein controversy. Sputnik News also says the Discovery couple, who is rumored to have rekindled the relationship, were spotted disembarking on a private jet to Malaya Airport on the 14th of August, just yesterday. They said that they have arrived in the Ferdinand Airport Hemisphere, Prince Andrew said, to be packed with renewed security over his friendship, serial sexual abuser, Jeffrey Epstein, and has spirited away from Spain by his ex-wife, Sarah Ferguson, who has been reported. Upon arrival, the Duke and Duchess were driven to the luminous luxury Stude Grand Resort, a private villa valued up to about $38 million, which is subjected to heavy security measures and deterred unwanted visitors. So it looks like he's under protection, and he's bunkered down. Epstein, whose death is widely suspected to have involved some of this kind of play, is awaiting for trial of the sexual thing. Well, I guess they didn't put that he's dead.
Wow.
His body was discovered. Oh, they say it right here. Excuse me. His body, blah blah blah, was discovered at 6 a.m. 2,000 pages of legal documents that were exposed just last week. The bulk of material relates to the Virgin Curfew and alleges that it recruited Epstein's longtime companion, British socialite Gretchen Maxwell, at the age of 16, working for the Financial Measures. The job began to the sexual abuse of Epstein, and Maxwell entered the reunited partnership of the elite, contacts of their friends. The council alleges that was forced to have sex with Epstein, and Andrews demanded and included well-known businessmen and worldwide renewed scientists, so these pseudo-intellectuals that are telling us that global warming and everything. Respected liberal politicians even, and foreign head of state Prince Andrews is at the top of the list. Andrews appears 56 times within the document that claims Maxwell acted as Prince Andrews' madame. So she was the one pimping out these ladies that we all know about, forcing to have sex with them in the bathtub. Andrews was consistently denied the allegations. But whatever the truth of the matter is clear, he was close to the Epstein's, giving the latter little black book of both contacts of sex, and said that they had 16 different numbers of royals, including the mobile numbers, one marked Palace X Directory, and detailed Royal Scottish Retreats, Bellamore and Sandringham. And it says, it just continues right here, just the last bit, it says, there are also 18 different phone numbers for Sarah Ferguson that is reported to link up to the royal family, and has been reported that Epstein once paid off about $15,000 of debt that she racked up. There's a big head figure in this, Sarah Ferguson, the madame of Prince Andrews, and now he's bunkered down over there somewhere in Spain with high security. So I don't know. It's just insane because nobody's reporting on that. So he's bunkered down in Spain, and Ferguson says, his ex-wife, and they're on the run. What do you take from that, Graham?
Wow, that's all I can say to that.
Yeah. It's weird because Sputnik News, you and I, Sputnik are pretty honest, even though America's media says that they're not because it's Russian propaganda. But this stuff is really, as you said, it might be next week that we're going to start seeing some bombshells.
Yes, or even this week. We're not done yet. This is only Thursday night.
How deep does that go with the Masonics and these cultists? I don't understand this. You're obviously more experienced into this, but how does that tie in? Are these people Masonics?
Top level.
The caller was saying. Yeah, they were saying that they're at the top nonchalant.
Yes. Yes. They're a member of... A lot of them aren't. A lot of them have never actually been through the 33rd degrees of Freemasonry or the 13 secret degrees or anything like that. Because of their position, they're basically groomed from school and from college. Well, Skull and Bones is a good example. They're just sucked right in at the top. You know, they don't have to work their way up like you know, an ordinary policeman or whatever. So, yes, they're right to talk. Prince Philip, who is Andrew's father, Prince Andrew's father, Prince Philip, also known as Duke of Edinburgh, he was the great grand wizard or something. He was the top of the top Freemasons in Britain, and he had a whole kingdom of Masonic lodges as well across Canada and America that was under his control. So he's like, you know, he's way up there, and that's his grandfather. And that's what these people do. They go on hunting parties for children. That's their sport. That's what they do. They put dogs after children. And then they adrenalize their blood and drink their adrenalized blood, which they call andichrome. And that's what they get high off of. That's the reward, if you like. They get a real buzz off it. Apparently, it's more addictive than heroin. But it also has the... Yes, but it also has a benefit of keeping them young.
Oh, yeah, your adrenaline glands, that's what makes your hair and skin actually grow. So this is perfectly, absolutely right. Even Queen Elizabeth, I think the first or second, she was known for drinking blood.
Yes.
This is nothing new. And so yes. You mentioned that Prince Andrews is not even a 33rd degree Mason, so they kind of kept him out of the light when it came to the very top.
No, he'll
even
be above
that.
People? Yeah, okay. Listen, there's
all right. Fine.
All right, there's at least 17 different groups, 17 other identifiable Masonic-based groups above the Freemasons.
Wow.
And the Palladian Society is one of them, the Vril Society is another, the Illuminati.
I can't hear you say that. The Pleiadian Society, what is that, if I may ask? I keep hearing you reference that.
Yeah, they call them, well, the Palladians are supposedly space brothers that come from another planet. In reality, they're not. They're just the old demons of deception that have been deceiving mankind for 6,000 years. So they've got their own following, they've got their own secret society, with them at the head of it, but it's only like totally elite of the elite that get, you know, into that society, if you like, you know, and that's where they get their orders. They get their orders from the other side, from the demonic realm. They take their instruction from there, but they're all super rich. They're all very, very wealthy, beyond your wildest dreams.
It's very interesting, because you did bring up the Mormon aspect. That follows under the line of Mormonism. They believe once they die that they'll be in control of their own planet, of 9 planets, and yeah, they'll be their own god of sorts. And they'll have any woman that they so please.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Well, Graham.
Yeah, right. It sounds fantastic.
If you want to get everyone's last thoughts, Graham, maybe sign off in about 2 minutes. We could fade out your intro and then transition to the round table. If everyone would like to stick around, that'll be great.
All right, yeah, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, okay. We're having a round table next, guys. This is basically just rolling on to the next show, which is fantastic. So I'll sign off. We'll play my signature music. We will get a chance to have a coffee or a cup of tea or whatever, and come back in about 5 minutes. I never realized the time. It's kind of like, yeah, I'm supposed to finish in 4 minutes' time. So, but anyway, I thank you very much indeed for your input, Gregory. I've learned a lot, and I look forward to learning even more from you and exchanging views as well, hopefully.
I think he signed off.
I see. Okay. Thank you as well, Johnny, for coming in. That was really interesting. It was a real high energy show. It was great. Learned a lot myself. Like I say, I was talking to the guy before we even went online. He was sending me big long messages telling me about how the Masons were going to class everybody as psychotic. or whatever.
I still see Gregory on here, so he might still be connected. Maybe he had to step away from the mic for a moment.
Right, okay. That's fine. Well, I'll wind up the show anyway. But listen, folks, thanks for listening. It's been absolutely great. The show will be continued in the round table to some extent. And thanks for listening. Welcome back next week. I'll be back. I'll probably do the same next week as I did this week. I'll guest on Paul's show and then just dovetail into mine if it's okay with him. It's a nice kind of seamless. It's like a club mix. Yeah, it's like a club mix.
excellent.
Yeah, brilliant. Ibiza club mix, 2019. Yeah. Anyway, so folks, I'll thank you again. I'll say good night and God bless.
Tune the yes, a tune, yes, yeah.